Thanks for tuning in to the Vertical Plus podcast. We always open the show with a discussion about this past Sunday's message. If you didn't catch it, you can go back an episode and listen to the audio version. Thanks again for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Vertical Plus podcast. I'm excited to bring it to you today. I'm joined today by the very one and only Reshma Bangar. Reshma, say something.
Is
that Reshma of Reshma's house?
It's the Bangar family.
Reshma's home.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Austin Roberts is here as well, leader of the Flowwood gang.
So A-Rob, not to be confused with A-Rod.
Thank you.
Does Reshma mean rescue in Bengali?
Who's this talking? Oh, lead pastor Ben Derrick. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Chase Hammock. We're not dilly-dallying around today. We had Memorial Day this past weekend, and hot dog was
if
it good.
If you don't add that knee slap in somehow.
It'll be in there.
I've never seen Chase more dad than he's been all day today.
No. Well, it's not like we've already done this intro before, and I'm not over it. Yeah. Hey, we had Drew Klieg teaching this Sunday alongside Ben Derrick. What did you guys talk about, Ben?
I can't even.
That's really good. I prefer the other you, but we'll keep going. Well, we talked about a lot of stuff. I guess my question is, what made an impact? That's what I want to know. It was Memorial Day weekend. We talked about a story of Drew's good friend, almost family member-like guy, Drew, which was a little bit confusing. Guy's name is Drew Ross.
Drew and Drew.
Yeah, I thought he just had a real ego trip.
Drew and Drew became good friends through the Q course and beyond. And we talked about the loss of Drew in Afghanistan and then connected it to, which in a way that only God could do, we connected it to a Jesus story. And then it wound up where we were talking about trust and how to navigate unfair circumstances, because we're in the middle of a series called Framework where we're talking about the essentials of following Jesus from a very vertical point of view. So anyway, that's kind of the summary of the weekend.
Yeah, that was good. It's always nice to have the shroud of mystery around Drew Klieg unveiled a little bit, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. I've got more questions about Drew in the past
two months. But, like, well, we know Drew, but, like, he had only taught 1 week.
Well, and he came from humble beginnings. Like, just a few months ago, it seems like people were like, who's that dude bawling on the stage?
Okay, well, I'm just going to say this from a woman's perspective. If you haven't met Jane is a superhero.
That's true.
I had not met Jane as much.
Okay, so every time somebody's like, who's that guy that was teaching on Sunday? I'm like, but have you met Jane?
That's Jane's husband.
Yes,
she's
that's
kind of
how
the same
works.
Way. In fact, they're very similar people in that you meet her, you're like, oh, but look at all those kids, like you're the mom, blah blah, and then you see her artwork, you're like, oh my gosh,
wow.
Like what a talent, yep. You know? It matches that they're married, it works. So learning a little bit more about Drew, pretty interesting.
Yeah, she does photorealism paintings of mirrors. It's crazy.
I can't stand you.
Yeah.
He just cracks himself up. So
he really is. That's a belly laugh.
There's only the only thing that happens more than me talking on this podcast is Chase laughing at his own jokes. Yeah.
Interrupting all momentum.
My favorite thing every week is to see if I can crack Chase. And like, I'll come in on Tuesdays and Caitlin's like, how was your day, sweetheart? I'm like, I made Chase laugh twice uncontrollably on the podcast. It was a good day.
So. Never what you expect, though.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a question. Where were we?
Sorry.
Right.
Mirrors. Yeah.
So I enjoyed this week because it wasn't actually supposed to happen this way. Like inside,
it's not supposed to be this way.
Wow.
What's the table?
Trademark.
Go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a table thing? What is that? Okay. Anyway, Lisa. Like inside look at teaching team. We were actually this week went through like 7 different iterations or whatever.
What is our problem lately, by the way?
But you know, I think that we crushed Memorial Day. Like I left and honestly watched other people's Memorial Day services and was like, I mean, I wasn't on camera, but it was a really great week, you know?
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I feel like it was way above, like, and I've been a part of these churches my whole life. My dad's a veteran, by the way. And when you start the service and you're like, if you've been in the military, please stand. And you can always tell the men and women that stand up are like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not.
So to be able to actually have a conversation about it with someone in active military service was pretty cool. That was a cool deal.
Yeah.
And especially for it to be Drew, but I'll say guys like Drew, like a lot of these SF guys, once you get past a little bit of they're rough around the edges, these guys. But once you start talking to them, you're like, wow, you're a very interesting group of people.
They're too smart for their own good. That's my thought. So they quarantined them all in a special task force to go and do things around
almost
the world.
Like, I've wondered, do they give them a pill to make them this intelligent?
It's the red pill.
It feels like for some of them, those guys are like, I'm going to take two of these and just see what happens. And then it just destroys them. But anyway, to have Drew on camera talking about just how we got into service, how it ends up working, pretty fascinating part of that. I've lost the room.
Yeah, I would agree. But it also felt really good, though, in terms of, like, you know, it felt like you guys were just having an open conversation. And, like, I really appreciated Drew's honesty as well, though, you know, because, like, there's, you know, he had every right to kind of be guarded or not even be on the quote-unquote stage. But instead, you know, he served his community in a way like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I thought it was an interesting take on justice overall. Like, we've hopped into this new series called Framework where we're talking about spiritual discipline sort of and talking about, you know, these are a few main things that you need in your life, just base level if you're going to live the Christian life. These need to be present in your life. And so looking at justice from that point of view, I don't guess I've ever looked at it that way, but kind of his story resonated with the fact that, like, wow, that doesn't seem fair at all. But also, where is my view of fair coming from? Something that he said in a meeting this past week that I really enjoyed was, like, fair and equal are not the same. And oftentimes we distort them and try and make them the same thing. So I thought that made a lot of sense. And I don't look at that from that perspective often. What did you think about it, Reshma?
Yeah, that story, just like pulling in the Bible from it, just... that story has always irritated me because I really like people who like to work hard. And like you said, I mean, it's fair.
Ooh, I could see that. I bet you do hate this story. I
hate that story, but I've never looked at it from that aspect of, like, this is what you signed up for. You knew what you signed up for. I told you it was a full days of work. So sorry that these other people basically got lucky. And I feel like I look like that through a lot of things in life, just like, why did this happen for them? But it didn't happen for me. If I'm, like, you know, grinding out and doing all the things that I feel like I'm supposed to do, why does it fall in other people's laps? And I know a lot of people listening feel that same way. Not really in so much like a judgment or comparison thing, but just like, why?
Yeah.
And so, and I know that doesn't compare nearly to Drew and Drew's story by any means, but I mean, like you said, we've all had those airport days, and that definitely hit me because I was like, yeah, I've definitely looked back at things and I'm like, why did you give all of that to them and they haven't done near as much or been through near as much as so many people around me?
Yeah, I resonate with that. I think you and I have similar mindsets on that. And when I was listening to the two of you, Ben and Drew, talk about this, that immediately hit me in that, like, I do that so often. I look at my own story and see what other people have or see the way even that God is using them and think, like, man, that is, why did I have to go through that to get to, like, it just seems. And so but Drew hit the nail on the head and it really put me in it gave me a different perspective on it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I'd like to take a second of the podcast just to talk more about the SF dynamic inside of our church, because we grazed up against it a little bit, but
you said SF about 18 times.
Special forces. Sorry. Sorry.
Ben wants a pin.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it. Yeah. I would last. Here's how long I would
SF
last.
SF adjacent.
Here's how long I would last at the Q course. I don't even know where it is, but I'd drive up to the gate and they'd be like, sorry, bud. And then I'd have to come back home. But at any rate, The way that a lot of this started is a guy named Justin Elrod went on a hangar trip.
The OG.
Yeah. And I just realized sitting around a fire with this guy, these people are different people, you know, just the way that they view life and the things that they've been through. And you get a couple of different generations through that. It starts with Justin Elrod, goes to Justin Atkinson. That was very confusing for a while. Then Justin lets us know that Drew is in the area. These guys kind of look out for each other. But I've learned a lot being around these men because they go through very difficult things. And these difficult things give them a different perspective on life, on justice, on what's been interesting to me is nearly to a person, they are able to admit their deficiencies in certain aspects better than I can. And so I think Drew's perspective on coming into this story and being trapped in this way, it's just very anti-church for Drew to be able to say, yeah, I mean, I've got journals full of being angry at God about, over these couple of circumstances. I'm like, whoa, that's a little different, because the Christian stripe usually tries to cover that up. It's like, oh, no, but it all works out. You know, Romans 8:28. And mm-hmm. Drew and these guys are like, no, that's not exactly how life works. You know, so talking about their perspective and Drew's perspective on these things. And also, let me say very clearly, to see a man still hurting over something made an impact on me. You know, people don't realize we had to record this teaching twice because of some technical difficulties. And Drew is still living in this pain. And even in that pain, he's willing to share with the community this idea of justice. And I don't know, it was a pretty moving experience for me. I'm struggling a little bit to wrap my mind around it, so my words are running. But
yeah, do you find, I was thinking about this a lot this week, do you find that there is a little bit of a struggle whenever you're teaching? I felt this for Drew in that you have a personal story and it is important. You also have a pull to where you don't want to overshadow what you're trying to teach that week. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I thought that the line was towed very well this week. And this is a personal story. There's a holiday. We want to show respect to those who have been in the military and sacrificed, but also there are truths about God that we want to bring out. I guess we did a good job, I thought, this weekend of being able to do that well. How does that play out often? And maybe this is a question for Chase and Rushma, though. Like, did it hit you like both sides of that got spoken well? Do you see times where we often lean way more into the stories and not enough into the God piece? Like, how does that hit you in a gray chair? Because that's something that I think we stress over a lot. It's not running over the Bible portion of it and leaving it out, not running over truths about God, not speaking too much from a personal perspective. How do you process that in gray chairs often?
For me, and I'm a little biased because I've been on staff for a long time, so I kind of know the inner workings a little bit. But
humble brag.
Yeah, I'm very hireable.
Haven't been fired yet. 2019.
You know, there's a reason My Story Matters is one of our favorite series, or whatever we call them, productions, to do, you know?
Is it because your fingers are all over it?
Sometimes it's not at all.
By the way, Reshma's, it's like over 21,000 views on this.
I'm famous. It's fine.
It's 22.
Autographs
it's up
after
to 22.
This.
Why
now?
Is
even
crazy.
Give her the...
And that's just on one platform.
Every night before she goes
brag,
to bed,
I can get a brag.
Every night before she goes to bed, Reshma, 21,000.
She just sets it on loop while she sleeps, so it just tits up.
All of my devices. Anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, Jace.
It's all right. It was a quick point. I don't know. I think the power of story is pretty crystal clear. Like, literally, one of Jesus's, like, his back pocket teaching method is the story. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's what Drew's story reminded me of, aside from all the lessons that come from it, is that, like, just because someone's story is so different from yours doesn't mean that there's not something to take from it. You know, like, Drew has the ability to take, you know, lessons from someone who's never even, like, Drew can learn lessons from someone that's anti-military, you know? Like, there's no wall in terms of what you can learn from someone's experience, even if it's, you know, doing the opposite, you know? And so I think the balance, I don't think it's as tricky as maybe we make it out to be, because I think if you do the story right, when you get to the God piece, it should be almost, like, like you're saying, it's kind of redundant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By the time you get to the end of the story.
That is an interesting point. Even in Jesus's interactions, like, even the story that you guys shared this week, Ben, like, when you see him interacting with his religious leaders, they actually want him to do what they're doing and only go back and talk about the things that would have been present from the Old Testament, right? And Jesus is telling these very relative stories to their situations and saying, this is how this applies to what Moses says. So that's... That's an interesting point. I guess I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, and without, I mean, personal stories and being able to tie that in, I mean, we could never say that the word is living, and it would never be, you know, anything that we could apply to our own life.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would just be another book. Like, we get a lot of encouragement out of, you know, different secular books and things like that, but it's because we know that, I mean, these people made it out, and then just like Drew, like, he's still suffering, but he's suffering well and living it well. And so, like, we know too that, like, when we experience those things, that we can suffer well, if that makes sense.
That's good.
Absolutely. I want to know more, if I can ask a question to you, Reshma. I want to know more about just your abrasive response to Jesus's teaching. I'm intrigued now by that.
But it's not surprising at all.
Yeah, like, I get it because we're friends, but I would love to put some language around that because I think a lot of people feel that way and they're just too scared to say it.
I don't know. I guess the best way to, I guess, tie it in a pretty bow is I hate laziness. I hate people getting handed things. I hate the thought of entitlement, all those things that are so, like, so very current in our world, just because, you know, I don't know. I guess I just try to lean more on, like, victors and victory rather than being the victim. And we see that a lot, but then you read the Bible and that's not what Jesus is about at all. He's always about turning it for good and that kind of stuff. So I get abrasive with that story, I guess, because I can relate to it so much. Like, even like being in an office space, like, we've talked about trust versus suspicion and things, and that's rattled in my mind since 2016 when it was shared. But just more so like trusting your coworkers and trusting the people around you that they're doing the best that they can with what they have and not just, you know, suspecting that, well, this is getting handed to them and they didn't actually do anything for that. And I've even been humbled in this time. We've talked about it a lot in staff where I'm such a doer. I'm such a goer. I just want to, like, you know, help people as much as I can with my hands, do whatever. And then in this time, I really couldn't do that. But God showed me that you can still do stuff even if you're just being still. You can still learn stuff and be able to give that to people even when you're just being still. So it's honestly humbled me a lot, and even this past Sunday humbled me a lot, just knowing that it wasn't about they were lazy and that it got handed to them. It was more so like this was God's choice. This was his provision for them, and it probably led other people closer to him. Of course, that's, you know, a whole different history in the Bible, but it probably led people closer to him because they didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to work for their salvation. They didn't have to do that. And that's, I mean, what we love so much about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, wow. This is a very complex little story, isn't it?
It is.
That's, when you Jesus is good at that.
Yeah. And I hadn't really thought about it until the way that you just put it, Reshma, but the way that Jesus interacted with everybody, like, they were constantly asking him questions about the people that he included, right? I mean, that's one thing that I love about Vertical Church is it's kind of made up of those, you know, like, the people that Jesus would have hung out with. Like, he was with fishermen and tax collectors and prostitutes. And, like, when I hear people's stories at Vertical, I'm like, that's who's actually involved in those stories that Jesus was talking about. It wasn't the religious people that he was actually trying to avoid, you know? And so it's interesting that I think a lot of times we get looked at as that, like, not necessarily the people that God would choose to use. I think we kind of exist in that gray a lot of times. And I really love that about working with the people that take part in ministry here. So
let's be very direct about this. It isn't difficult as a church to include the people that Jesus would include. What's difficult as a church is taking the people who have been following Jesus for a while and mixing them with the people that Jesus would include and having them be in relationship with one another. I mean, you guys have, the people listening, I know the staff knows, but people listening have no idea how many times I receive a text. It's like, hey, did you see this post by such and such on the deal? And I'm like, yeah, I did. You know, they're people, and they don't know all these different things that we say should be happening in the way that you
they
live your life.
Come to financial peace yet.
I mean, yeah, they're just like, they're working on following Jesus the best way they know how, and it's going to be messy. You know, so having people be attracted to the message of Jesus that are far from God, that's kind of the easy part.
Yeah.
It's putting people who are close to God and far from God in the same room, in the same church. That's the difficult part. And being a staff member that's willing to say, yes, I will sit with a person who has such deep faith that it affects everything they do, every purchase they make. You know, I can sit with those people. I can also sit with a guy who has invented new profanity I've never heard of before to describe his or her own life. I can sit with those people too. And I mm-hmm. see Jesus doing the same thing. What the trick is, and I think there's some of this banked in this story. I know we don't have time for this, but there's some of this banked in the story in that Jesus really takes head on the professionally religious. Mm-hmm. He doesn't reserve his compassion for the people far from him, but he meets them first with compassion. That's why I pointed out in the story, the landowner says, friend, like, let's be on the same ground here. I paid you what we agreed. Mm-hmm. You know, when he looks at the religious people, he says, you brood of vipers.
Well, yeah. The ones that you said are aggressively religious, you see him sit with Nicodemus in the same way, and he has that. That's who I thought of when you said that. Like, he has that same tone of friendship. Like, because you're actually curious and wanting to figure this out, then I want to explain it to you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to take the heat as a church. And we were taught this. Philip Thurman and Greg Miller, who started this place, said when they started this place, we will be who God is calling us to be, no matter what controversy it calls onto us. And I say we're going to keep that going. We are now in the second and third and fourth generation of what that looks like. But we are going to take the heat, even if it seems like we're being unjust or any of that stuff. That's the kind of church we're going to be. I think that's why I'm really proud of this past weekend, because it put that on such display.
Hey, Austin.
Hey, Chase.
It's Ben's favorite time. Not the segment, but the segue. Mm. So I have one question for you.
Yes, sir.
Will you ask us anything?
I will.
Wow.
The reason I like it is because the only time you guys talk to each other like you care about each other.
That's true.
We continually rip each other.
Oh, man.
Otherwise, it's
I want to know why this segment doesn't have a jingle.
Because I haven't thought of one.
Oh, okay.
And also recommends is so special that it gets a jingle.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
And I made that drum groove.
You had to use it somewhere. Yeah. All right. Question for this week. What is... For each of us personally, what is a controversial hot take? So, like, basically,
an unpopular opinion?
Yeah, like an unpopular opinion that you have, something that you believe that others probably won't agree with. Make sense?
Are you going first or me? Because I definitely have mine.
Well, go ahead and I'll go after you.
Okay. Mine has come up recently because I didn't know it would, I thought what I thought was just a state of fact. But I've gotten so much pushback over the past month. I swear.
That's such a Chase statement.
But you know, when I say it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, it has been happening. There once was a great TV show called Fixer Upper. It was on the Home and Garden television network.
I'm scared of where you're going.
We are about to fight over this.
It was featuring Chip and Joanna Gaines, and they are the perfect fixer-uppers in the world, okay?
I'm so nervous about where you're going with this.
Me too.
I won't name a name, but someone the other day, actually two couples the other day, said that Hometown...
Terry's and Thomas's.
Yes. Hometown, the Laurel people, are better than Chip and Joanna. And I think if you have that take in your head, you're smoking crack cocaine. Because that is ridiculous. You're skewed.
We're getting into pineapple pizza territory right now.
That's fine.
You weren't there.
My favorite thing is that I get to root against the Mississippi natives because, you know what? They're fine. They're good at what they do.
No, Aaron is not fine. She's
annoying. You are being very public. I was not going to say anything
She's
like that.
She's annoying. That's why I don't like that show.
He's a type A. That's what they do.
I wasn't going to go that far. I just wanted to say that Chip Gaines...
Aaron and Ben, I think y'all are great.
I think they're fine people. That's why I don't watch that show, is the personality.
To be fair, Austin calls me annoying about 3 times a day. That's what he does.
When are we going to take Austin's shovel away from him? All I wanted to say was that the Gaines are better, and honestly, Chip Gaines can... carry any show he wants to, because I just love him as a person. And Joanna has the best taste I've ever seen on any TV show ever.
Ooh.
Including Property Brothers.
What makes me help them win the day is that one Kills commercial video thing that he did.
I didn't see
where he's
it.
Talking about his dad. Have you seen that?
No. Chip?
Yes.
Oh no,
man, it is. It's good. It's like this guy's
the Property Brothers.
Yeah, this guy's for real.
Why do we have such hard opinions on HGTV? Because
it's fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because
like,
it doesn't matter.
Do you
at
need
all.
To defend no for somebody? I felt like that was the face you
no,
made.
No, I already said Ben and Aaron. If you're listening, I think you guys are great.
Cool.
Gotcha. I also saw Chip one episode. I don't really watch the show, but I saw him one episode. He's like, well. We bought this place, and what do you know? It's got asbestos in it. Yeah. We'll get that taken care of. See you after the break. I was like, whoa. That guy's got a high stress tolerance. So,
well, he has like 8 kids.
Yeah.
Again, that's the deciding factor.
I think,
right?
What are they up to, 4 now? They just had a baby? See, no, they're 5. They're
if
5.
You have 5 kids... You could literally, he's probably doing great in the pandemic. He's just like, oh, whatever.
I'm just realizing how much I don't keep up with any of this. Because you're teaching
until
me
Rachel
something
told
about
me.
HGTV.
Well, there's four kids on the show, and then Rachel told me they had a baby. I was like, well, that 4 + 1 = 5.
God, you're so smart that way.
Yeah. Wow. Austin, go.
Mathematics. Jeez.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to be equally as controversial with mine. So I'm getting ready
You've been the most controversial so far.
I mean, this bar is set high. I'm terrified. Yeah.
An entire town is not going to listen to this episode of these podcasts anymore.
And our demographic is strong
there. It's a nationally
televised
TV show. Our millions of listeners will get over it.
Yeah,
that's
true. We're syndicated.
Okay, so I have two that came to mind very, very quickly. Number one is, and my wife will come at me over this one, I think that ice cream is overrated. I'm not an ice cream guy. I don't like it. It's sticky. It's messy. I just don't like it. But the second one that came to mind.
Talking to your mic.
Sorry.
I think ice cream is over.
I do.
That's the lamest.
The other night, literally, we were going to.
It's a pretty hot take, I'll be honest.
Yeah, right? I'm going with it. This segment was made for me. I hope y'all know this.
I'm just sitting
we
back already and watching
know.
The train wreck. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the other night we were going himself. To visit with friends and be socially distant, and Caitlin was like, we're supposed to take dessert. Should we pick up ice cream? I'm like, no, nobody likes ice cream. But
only you. Literally only you.
The second one that came to mind is this, and I may be behind the trend on this, but I honestly don't get CrossFit. To me...
talking to your mic.
Listen...
I'm listening.
Outside looking in, and I am not the expert on this, and actually, Reshma, you can probably correct me on this. To me, all those Olympic lifts, the jerks in such a quick movement doesn't seem healthy and sustainable over time. Again, I am merely outside looking in, but that doesn't look like in 60 years I'm going to have a back.
It's a flaw of the system, I will admit.
Really?
Yes.
There are definitely some lifts in it that are not safe, especially if you don't practice.
So tell me this. Is there a way to exclude those and make it better?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There are people at my CrossFit gym that I go to that refuse to do particular lifts. A lot because of former injury, but mostly because of confidence issues.
Yeah.
So you just don't do them. There's a modification.
So is it a form thing?
It 100% is. Because if you go in, like, if you go into snatch and think, like, I'm just not going to get this, you're going to hurt your lower back because you're not going to get it and you're going
to
do it wrong.
I mean, just like going back to that. That's like the conventional deadlift. If you do that in
a
gym
and
you
load
it up. Exactly. I mean, if you're being stupid, you're being stupid.
But the stakes are a little bit higher.
We just lost half of the audience.
Yep.
I think I can't speak to this, though. The stakes are a little bit higher if you're fatigued and you're trying to do a complex bar movement.
Yeah.
Then that's why you have to join up. And I think this is where all forms of exercise meet. You have to join up in a community that takes this stuff seriously and isn't just trying to post stuff to Instagram.
That's why my Pilates pals alliteration.
Like, if you're going
really
to bar,
have my back.
You know, Pilates pals. It literally sounded like that was a club you're a part of.
That sounds like a children's TV show.
We all believed it first.
I just thought really of it.
Yeah. So here's how I solved that is that I actually pay attention to the instruction and I know my limits. You know, you stop and think about, wow, I'm going to have 135 pounds over my head in the squat position.
Right.
I need to be pretty careful.
So not every crawfish.
Wow.
We were talking about crawfish earlier. Not
Easter
every CrossFit. Yes. No, 2021.
RIP.
Yeah. Not every CrossFit gym has a Chris Allen as your coach.
Yeah, that is definitely
true. That is a key
true.
Difference with Coyote a lot of the time.
Oh, I mean, I would not attack a native Mississippi CrossFit gym. But,
or entity at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, or especially a person. You wouldn't attack a native
by name. Exactly.
By name.
Never.
Locals.
I am merely commentating on a TV show, but outside looking in, that has been my That's why I haven't done it yet. That's why
I was prepared for this conversation because Mike Petyak and I have had this conversation a lot.
There is no bigger proponent to point it out than Mike Pettine.
Yeah, yeah, I would follow.
But him. Also, he kind of kills the weightlifting game. So
yes, yeah. Mad respect.
All right, somebody.
I'll go, but I just have to say, you have to put ice cream with milk. Put milk over the ice cream, and then you'll like it.
What the frickin'?
What are you talking about? Not like a milkshake.
Skip. Skip.
Skip.
It's so good. Okay, skip. See, unpopular opinion.
No, now yeah. My curiosity is piqued. You put ice cream in a bowl.
There's no way.
Well, sometimes in a mug. I like ice cream in a mug so I can have a handle so it's easier to carry a lot.
My God. There's no way that this actually makes the podcast.
You're an active ice cream eater?
100%. Oh, gosh. Every night.
That's like saying you like to put heavy whipping cream in your chocolate milk.
You probably walk around and brush
your
teeth too, don't you? You don't just stick at the sink. You probably just walk around.
Oh, for sure. You have other things to do.
Like spread your...
Anyways, my opinion, because you know it's an opinion, so it's mine.
Yes.
Is hot fruit. I hate
no,
hot fruit.
No, we've done this.
I hate pie. No, not the pineapple pizza crap. I mean like apple pie, peach cobbler, southern things, all these gross things.
You don't like
yeah, that's
cobbler.
Any hot fruit, I'm out.
You're
if
in
it's
the,
not,
yeah, you're in the wrong region,
and
too.
You can't mix fruit with food. Like, you shouldn't put strawberries with chicken.
Who does
ever.
That?
In salads.
Oh.
Like, yeah. You just shouldn't do that. Fruit is fruit.
Have you ever had a grape in your chicken salad?
Yes, disgusting. Oh, it reminds
crazy.
Me of ticks.
Oh. Okay, oh. Well, that's...
Next time you eat your chicken salad.
That's real specific to
oh,
you.
Oh, my gosh.
Blueberries, okay, so ticks, grapes, is... ticks, if they're mixed in food.
Wait, how do you feel about cheesy apples?
Disgusting.
Oh, boy. Here we
Benjamin
go.
Disgusting. Derek.
That is the way... I even Googled that this week, and I was like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It tastes great.
Literally, Google said, don't do it.
You
just
can look
don't.
It up, but don't
Stop.
Consume it. Yeah.
Stop searching.
Yeah.
All right, Ben.
Oh, I'm gonna cause some problems with this, but
right.
I just
eat some crow.
I have to do this.
Can it get worse?
Because Cammie and my wife and I have had discussions about this, and I think it's because of the way I was raised. So I'm clarifying all this before I say it, but it literally makes me angry and breaks my heart at the same time when I see a female cutting the grass. Whoa. Isn't that weird?
Yes, that
totally
is.
Totally weird. And I've had
so
conversations
weird.
With females. It's not a chauvinist thing. I'm just like,
well, please continue.
Somebody should be looking after that household better. You
so are you
going
to come cut my grass? Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't
you
know.
You have to talk to Karen Hammett because she lives on a lawnmower.
Exactly.
Yeah,
she loves
are you saying that women aren't equipped to cut grass?
Not saying that at all.
He's just saying they shouldn't have to.
It's one of these things, like Chase tells me all the time. He's like, you're so weird in the things that bother you. That's yeah. one of those weird things. And I've had conversations in my social circles about this where the females, the wives of my friends, are like, oh my gosh, I love doing that. It's so
there's
peaceful.
Not a chance this airs. Not a chance this goes on the podcast.
But it's like...
Well, we can vouch for Ben because he's the guy in our church like waving the women on stage banner and stuff like that. Like, he's not sexist.
No.
It's right. just a weirdly specific
It is weirdly yeah. specific. That's why I'm bringing it up because they're like, this is going to be...
So your grandma didn't like... I grew up with my grandma on the mower. Like, when I pulled in the yard, she was out there. She had her straw hat.
No, I get where he's coming from in terms of, like, your upbringing. Because I didn't see a woman cut the grass until my mom.
Okay, yeah. So clarify this for me. If a man is in the kitchen, are you mad that his
Talking
wife isn't
mic.
Taking care of him?
No. It's like,
it's just cutting the grass.
It's not a sandwich
if you
situation.
You ask me to explain it beyond
yeah,
my initial...
he can make his own sandwich. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just go cut your grass.
You ask me to explain anything beyond my initial emotional reaction, I can't do it. Like, well, do you not think women are strong enough to... No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I'm admitting...
It freaks me out when women are on a mower.
I see it, I'm like, dadgummit. Dadgummit.
Pull over the car.
That's all. That's as far as I can go.
You know, whatever you think of what Ben has just said, Austin, he has not topped your direct attack into a lot
of I'm not attacking anybody. I'm merely saying that is why I don't watch the show.
That's a pretty direct attack.
We just brought it back.
It's a personality thing.
So my question is for the people in the room, me having that opinion, you automatically assume that I'm chauvinist? That's how that works?
I don't think that at all.
Well, no,
But we know Ben.
Oh, okay. I think if Ben led with just that and didn't have all the other stuff about him.
Yeah, because I know plenty of women that actually enjoy cutting their grass,
enjoy,
like putting
yeah.
in their headphones yeah. and like going,
if
getting
anything,
a tan.
You're empowering women to...
I think that is... I don't know why. I think it's evidence. This is what I should say. It's evidence of like... the way you kind of grow up and the environment
yeah,
you grow 100%. Up in really affects mm-hmm. how you view things.
You know what that reminds me of? Caitlin has, my wife, has a weird thing where if somebody has if a man, she will say it that way, if a man has dirty ears,
what?
She will say his wife doesn't love him.
Why is she so close to his ears?
I don't know. I don't know.
I've literally never seen dirty ears.
She has pointed it out. She'll be like,
I have so many follow-up questions. She's like,
what do you mean by dirty ears?
Like if you, I don't know. She'll be like, your ears,
like the dead
you
skin
need to clean
stuff?
Your, I guess. She's like, you need to clean your ears. People will think I don't love you.
I'm calling
like,
right. Caitlin.
What does that mean?
I'm vetoing all of this. We're wrapping it up.
Recommends,
recommends. Ooh. Man, that was, man, what a bop. Every time. Gets me. Almost a tear in my eye because it was so good.
Wait, you forgot to come in like... Like you're out of breath. Like
no,
you
it's
just so awkward.
The only reason I would be winded is because of that last segment. Anyway, recommend. Hot dog. All right. I've only got one. There's only been one thing on my agenda as of late. I've been doing one thing in my life besides, you know, living.
If you say parenting, I'm going to walk out
No,
here.
I wouldn't okay. recommend parenting. You can do what you want, except for you. You should be a parent.
Clearly, after that last segment.
Here we go.
Am I going first? Did I just volunteer myself?
I think you did.
All right, Chase's childhood coming in hot. There was a show that aired from 2005 to 2008 that has recently
I know where it's going.
That has recently surfaced back onto Netflix, and it is the number two show in America right now. And if that doesn't say everything it needs to say, you think women shouldn't cut the grass.
Oscar Mike.
This is going to be the headline, I think, in a newspaper somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, local pastor. Sexist question mark?
Cut grass.
Anyway, there's a show. It is called Avatar: The Last Airbender. It is a Nickelodeon original.
Oh, my kids destroy this show. They love
it. It's so
it really is good.
It has. All right, I'm not usually one to really hype up this website, but there's. The company that this show is in is few and far between. This show has a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and there are, like, you can probably count on one hand how many shows have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. They were the originators of the three seasons and get out of their format. They didn't milk it for anything. They knew what they wanted with the story. They got in and got out. It's unreal. It's so good. It's not just for kids. All right, I will say that on the front end. It may be animated, but dang it, Toy Story's good too.
It's more popular than ice cream, is what you're saying.
100%.
We can all agree that that's a bit.
Would be a hard bar.
The first half of the first season, it's not bad. It's just a little slow. But I'm telling you, just give it a chance. When season two hits, you will already be invested, and then your effort will be paid off in tenfold. Okay, it's gonna be great. It's a great show. Give it a shot. It deserves your time. The episodes are half-hour format, so they're only like 24 minutes on Netflix time. So give it a shot. That's all I got.
Solid. All right, Reshma.
Very passionate.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I think I have two things, and I'm going to get made fun of.
That was a want, by the way. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh.
Wait, we didn't.
Thanks,
what?
Janice.
Thanks, Janice.
Thanks, Janice. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to go because I have no idea what's happening. Okay, recommend as far as watching.
No,
what? No, that's not something.
Want?
It's not a
need,
category.
Where,
you just
read.
Did a want, and it's something to watch.
Yeah, but you didn't say it was a want. You said it was a watch. Yeah. Is it a want?
Has to be a want. You want to watch this. That's how you
yes,
do it.
Yes, everybody should want to watch this.
Okay, yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
And this is another maybe formatted for children, but I love it. It's the new version of Lady and the Tramp. It's the best
is
dog.
Is it live action?
Yes. And it's the most precious thing.
When did that
it's
come
on
out?
Disney Plus.
What?
Also, Disney Plus. You want that.
That's already been recommended. You're good.
Okay. Well, then, under that, Lady and the Tramp.
That is
and
such
it's the
a
best
classic.
Thing.
I don't, really?
It's
Wait,
a
what
classic,
is it
and
rated?
They redid it so well. Do what?
What is it rated?
NC-17.
Okay. It's on Disney Plus.
So they redid a classic.
I've
it's
literally,
not
like, when I talk to my dogs now, I'm like, they definitely know. And they're going to run away if I'm mean to them.
Oh, that's how I feel about my toys.
Everything.
This is like all the things about your personality wrapped into one. A dog.
So it was the best movie. Anyways, you definitely want to watch that. And then you need...
There you go.
...to become a professional gardener.
Oh, my gosh. Your plants have been alive for a day.
You're
and
recommending
a half.
This a little early.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Game. Stay tuned. I can reap the harvest in September. I will let you guys know what happens.
So we need to have Reshma on like every 4 weeks just to get a recap on like
we would
where
literally
this
get a month
is.
Of that segment. And it would be done.
Look, I'm just letting you guys know when you need sweet potatoes and zucchini, who you gonna call?
Is that what I don't want either one of those.
Ghostbusters.
Things.
Sweet potatoes.
Zucchini and strawberries. Ooh, and mint.
You're growing strawberries.
Oh, see,
I heard strawberries are very difficult to grow.
They are. What if, and
they're
I hate
be
holes,
hot, though.
And so that's going to be terrifying
you,
when
wait,
they start
you
growing.
Hate what?
Shut Anyways, up. Let's keep going.
Don't.
Hot take.
Yeah, all right, awesome. Go. Thank you, Reshma.
I only have two this week, a want and a read. My want, this is going to be kind of niche, I think. We've already...
Are we afraid of that here? No.
Really, go ahead.
Not.
Full steam ahead.
Yeah, so we've already quantified the fact that we all kind of go down
quantified?
YouTube...
Quantified? Oh my gosh.
Clarified. Clarified. Whatever. That we go down YouTube holes, right? And it's, yes. It's something that we do, like we get interested in something and it becomes everything we're about for a week. I recently did that and discovered a guy named Jimmy DiResta on YouTube. And... It's
the rest of what?
Oh my gosh.
What did you just say?
He cracked himself up because of the joke nobody else yep. heard.
So you got your
I got it? That's yep, it? I didn't even know I did it this week.
No, I did what? It.
Okay, anyway, Jimmy DiResta this week, he...
See? Stay tuned for the rest of the show.
If he doesn't do that, he
I
is...
I need to be this guy's producer. That's my only contribution. Stay tuned for the rest of the show.
The rest of the show. Anyway, he's on YouTube. Go look at him. He does, like, random projects. He's a metalworker slash blacksmith slash just craftsman in general, and he builds these crazy...
Artisan.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane the things that he puts together. He built a guitar, but it was, like, out of a... It's really hard to explain, but if you go to his YouTube channel, you get to see him put together crazy stuff. It doesn't make any sense, the things that he builds, and it's really, really cool. He has a surprising amount of subscribers. So anyway, the other thing is a read. I'm reading a book this week called Stories That Stick by Kendra
when
Hall.
When are you going to read the rest of it?
Shut up. Have you read the rest of
The rest of it?
I can't get over you.
Yeah, it's fine. You love me.
Anyway, Stories That Stick, it's good. Basically, she tells you how to communicate stories well and why they matter. And so, like, the example she gives is Extra Gum and how they were about to go out of business. But they started this series of commercials where they draw in the foil or whatever.
Saved their company.
And it saved their whole company. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway.
Crap gum, by the way. I know them personally, so I'm allowed to say that.
Apparently they're Mississippi based as well.
I'm not from Mississippi, okay?
Clearly, you're hating on all of us.
Anyway, that's my two Stories That Stick, and stay tuned for the rest of the recommends.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as funny.
No. It doesn't work for
me. Gotta be a dad.
Okay, so this is probably going to fall along the lines of women cutting the grass. But
can we skip week 10?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of British television.
Yuck.
What?
I really am.
Did you watch The British Office?
No, not much of that. But I'm just a big fan of British TV. And some of my favorites that I've, like, I mentioned The Bodyguard a lot. It's a great show.
All right.
But,
did you watch all of it?
Yes.
You mean the rest of it?
Shut up.
So here's mine. What's the guy's name? Julian Fellows? Is that how you say that? From Downton Abbey? He was a part of that as
well.
I
didn't watch that.
So, yeah, I got roped into that with Cammy watching it. But anyway, this is this show is recently on Netflix, The English Game. Okay? I'm recommending this, much to everyone's chagrin, apparently. But the guy who's the lead, Kevin Guthrie, is a very convincing...
Sounds very British.
Yeah. He's a very convincing actor. He's caught in a dilemma between... what his family needs him to do and what he should do. So I'm hooked. I don't know exactly how things turn out, about 3-4 episodes in now, but I can recommend it.
What about Kevin do you like?
Okay, good. That's a good question. Well, for one, he cuts his yard. So that's a thing. Oh, no,
they don't have yards and
his
garden.
His garden. He cuts his garden. Hey, there you go.
I belong
Reshma.
There.
here's what I like. Here's what I like in a leading character. I like them to be conflicted.
I could have quoted what Ben was about to say yes. there.
I like them to be conflicted and slightly brooding.
That's why you loved Prince Charles in The Crown.
Oh, man.
I've never been more
There's
lost
my other recommend for people to watch that series long enough to see him sit in that room and address all those ministers.
The Crown?
What?
Man.
You...
No. Really we should like wrap ice cream.
Up.
Get out of here.
We should wrap
Go
up.
Go eat your pineapple pizza.
Okay.
Oh. Are we done?
Please.
All right.